T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
His words program Patriots talk across the country.
What's the Patriots' ultimate goal for this year?
I think this offense is probably going to run the ball over 500 times.
Get up to date on the latest Patriots storylines with Tommy Curran.
So why is he so damn special that we have to call him Tom E. Curran?
Now on Dale and Keefe.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NBC Sports Boston Patriots reporter Tom E. Curran. Tom is brought to you by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. And by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Dale, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. It's
tremendous.
Not often.
How the fellas?
Good.
I've been watching them on my computer screen here, and they were sitting
kinda
in a studio.
Isn't it, Tom?
Well, they were sitting in a studio holding up craft beers. I think they're really good right now.
Things are going well.
So it doesn't happen often when you have arguably one of, if not the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. But this week there were questions about his clock management at the end of the game. Did you think he messed with it a little bit?
See, there was more than one way to skin that particular cat. And I think that for everyone, you're processing, okay, what's he doing? So long story short, no, I don't really at all, because how do you manage it? Do you get the maximum number of plays is the final question and the final barometer. But when you're watching it tick down to 13 seconds from, I believe, 29 seconds, you have to keep in mind, okay, they've just burned a bunch of time. What are they going to get out of it? Well, they ended up getting out of it a very good look to the end zone that fell incomplete with 9 seconds. And then they got an inside the field of play completion for 12 yards down to the one and still had that timeout in hand. So I didn't hate it at all. And really, when you think about it, guys, that's exactly what Pete Carroll was trying to do in the 2014 Super Bowl. He didn't want to burn his time out, so he threw. And he didn't want to burn his time. It was 26 seconds left when they got picked. I think it was a minute six when they did their initial run with Marshawn Lynch and he got tripped up. So that last time out, I don't blame teams for holding on to it, just so you do have the power and control to stop the clock. So I didn't hate it. What did you guys think?
I didn't think it was a problem. I really didn't, and I like that, you know, at that point you don't have to throw it into the end zone. You know, you can get tackled short, and you can still run another play. So I personally didn't have a problem with it. I also, even though it didn't work, didn't have a problem with the final play call. Now, I know those that did, well, it didn't work, so they have that in their favor when making the argument. But what did you think of the very final play call where Cam Newton got stuffed?
That one, again, it would be, okay, well, what would you do, genius, if you say they should have done something else? Mm-hmm. And if you want to say throw a fade to Ryan Izzo, if you want to say leak out Yach Johnson, that's really what you'd have to do. I mean, you could say, okay, throw something to Edelman. Really, it's not a great idea to throw to a 5'11 guy down in a crammed open. You need more time for that to develop. So, no, I didn't hate it, especially after watching the replay and seeing that one guy on the Seattle defense made a really nice play to penetrate, get low, and screw that up. If, as Cam said, he bounced it, he would have walked in if he got the edge, but he couldn't get to that edge. So I didn't hate it either. The guy is the hub around which the wheel spins right now. Might as well let him be the guy.
Yeah, you know, I understand not hating the call. My biggest, you know, like you said, if you throw to Edelman, that backfired last year against Kansas City on the final play. You throw to the tight end, that didn't work last time they played Seattle when Brady went for Gronk at the end of the game. So, you know, and imagine the outrage that all of us would be handling in print, on podcast, and on the radio if they did get cute and they just tried to throw the ball instead of trying to go with the best player in the field. Ah, oh, McDaniels, you're getting too cute. Josh is kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't there, Tom. My only quibble with it was not putting in just a half second of hesitation. Like, they kind of telegraphed, and I appreciate the fact that there's an attitude with them, like, we got Cam Newton, we're going to do this until you can stop it. And so that's part of the swagger this team has, that's part of the energy he's brought. But I just wish there was a moment of hesitation, just maybe one fake handoff. On a lot of his touchdown runs, he does it where he sort of like takes it in the shotgun, hesitates for a second, then follows a blocker into the end zone, maybe sort of like goes off guard between guard and tackle. That's the only thing. It just seemed a little too deliberate. But, hey, if it worked, we'd all be saying they're a wagon.
You did. I mean, you're exactly right. It's basically, I'm going to come here behind this phalanx of people and try and walk through the one gap you create. You know, could they have gone with some, like, jet sweep motion to draw some kind of attention and at least put it in their heads? But that's where, honestly, and I know that you know this, Fitzy, I mean, we don't know what we don't know about what they're looking at.
On the matchup? Yeah, no, we don't know what they're looking at as well. And, of course, the internet loves to make the joke like, huh, Pete Carroll's going to tell you what it's like to throw the ball from the 1 or the 2 yard line, so you don't want to do that. I get it. Now, are you, of all the different units that are improving and playing well, Cam's the biggest surprise. But on the heels of that, are you as impressed by the way the offensive line has responded and the guys like Michael Onwenu? Now, he lost his block on that final play, and if he wins it, maybe Cam still has a chance. But this kid's come from out of, like, Illuminor's played great, and this kid's come from out of nowhere to be like, whoa, did you see the size of that six-rounder Belichick out of Michigan? All the way to, like, he's playing right tackle, he's playing left tackle, he's the extra guy on the run formation, like, been a bit of a revelation so far.
I think,
you know what, I didn't like that question either. Tom
said, you know what, you're gonna have to come a
I don't
lot
blame him.
Closer than that.
I mean, truthfully, I would have hung up on you as well.
So actually, he wasn't done responding to me. I thought it was a bit short at the end of my
he was a little short with
he me. Was a little short yeah. All right, Rich, I'll ask you, Michael Onwenu,
a surprise, one of the big surprises,
right?
A pleasant surprise, not on my radar. And you knew when Cannon
or anybody else's,
when Cannon said he wasn't going to play, you were wondering.
Well, if you see him, he's literally
he's a good size. He's a good size man.
He's a hefty.
But you were looking, you're like, all right, how are they going to replace that? Because if healthy, the other four guys, you have pretty good confidence in. Yes. Isaiah Wynn's been a beast. And for him, it was definitely
zero
more about
pressures on the season.
And like, what, 72 pass attempts?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, let's see if
Tom's
if
back.
Tom,
we
if,
think.
Well, if we he's think. Not mad at, if he's not mad at Fitzy anymore.
Right.
Hi, Tom.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Tom.
Hey,
Fitzy. Hold on, let me say the magic words. David Blau. Are you there?
I did. I did say if he's not mad at Fitzy anymore.
See, he still might be.
I stressed that.
He's like, what's your question about Michael Onwenu?
He was out before that.
Onwenu?
He was out. Tom, do we have you?
No, not yet.
Tommy, can you hear me?
It does seem, though, if you look, so 2 weeks into the season, if you look at the rookie class, Kyle Duggar seems to be flashing a little bit. People are high on Kyle Duggar. Josh Uche can't get on the field. Anthony Jennings, I don't know if he is or if he isn't. Asiasi and Keen, nothing. You cut your kicker, but then you might have a starting right tackle.
Right.
Tom,
so it's a hit or miss class.
Did you hang up just because you were mad at Fitzy?
No.
Because I don't blame you.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know what, Fitzy? Don't second guess the coaches. Bottom line.
That's it.
Wow.
I mean, that's it. In your face.
Don't second guess. Mm-hmm. I couldn't listen to it anymore. No, you know what happened?
Hung up out of disrespect.
Yeah, I like it.
Tom E. Curran.
The Opal.
Yeah, go ahead.
We love the Opal, and it works great, but I just learned something. When someone calls my cell phone, I'm on Opal, it knocks me off.
How about
so
that?
So that's what happened.
There you go.
No call waiting.
Well, now we know.
Tommy
we're
Curran.
We're going to figure out how to block that.
Yeah, we will. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, is joining us here. You were talking about the offensive line. David Andrews, not at practice today. We don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
James White, not at practice today. We do know why. Do we have any reason to believe that Andrews might not be able to go this week? Did you hear of anything coming out of Sunday night's game?
Had not heard of anything coming out of Sunday night. So we'll keep an eye out for the injury report and see how it looks, whether it's a, you know, did not practice, limited practice, he popped out later on or any of that. So I do not know. I mean, also we'll look for, is there a body part attributed? So that those will be the things that we have to keep in mind when the injury report comes out. But right now, not sure what's up with David.
And as far as James is concerned, obviously much bigger things for him to worry about in life than a football game. But any indication from the Patriots on whether they plan that he'll be back this weekend, or are they just planning that he won't be there?
My guess is they're planning, I would imagine, that he will not be there, given the situation with his mom as well. Certainly, I'm sure, being, in the hospital, I don't know, but I would guess if she was in critical condition 3 days ago, she might still be there. So that would be, as I'm sure you guys would say as well, take the time you need, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Tom, if I know the trade deadline is still several weeks away, but if you could add to this team a wide receiver, a tight end, or a linebacker, what would it be?
It would be a wide receiver. And again, we don't have enough information yet, but when we look at the complement of wide receivers, and Cam Newton threw 33 times to wideouts the other day. By comparison, I went through a number of recent years to find when Tom Brady might have thrown as often to wide receivers, and the best I could find was the Super Bowl against Atlanta when they were down 28-3. He threw 38 times to receivers on his 63 attempts. So we're seeing wide receiver usage we haven't seen. But as well as Damir Bird, Nikhil Harry, and Julian Edelman played in offsetting career highs in one way or another, the depth is outstanding there. And it's Jacoby Myers. That's the depth. End of story, period. That's the tweet. So you need some more behind that. And I don't know what they would look like if they didn't. I don't know how well these wide receivers will perform now that the intel is out there on this. And that's why I love this game, guys, is you saw Miami the first week had no idea what the Patriots were all about, and they get gashed with 15 runs by Cam Newton. Well, now Seattle comes back the next week, and they don't know what the Patriots passing game is all about, and they get hammered for close to 400 yards passing by Patriots wide receivers. Where does the truth lie about what the Patriots are offensively? Are they this much of a wagon, or are they catching teams with rights when they're looking for less?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I can see going after a wide receiver. Marvin Jones would be the one that I would want them to go after because of the relationship with Patricia, his ability, the contract. I think a tight end also would really open things up because Cam loves throwing to the tight end, Tom, and he obviously had all those great years with Greg Olsen. The rookies just don't seem to be able to come around from health and from a learning curve. Getting someone there over the middle to help him develop the confidence that he wants in that spot to go with the receivers. I mean, how much can you peg on Asiasi? I mean, Keen has a neck issue. Gunner, who knows when he's coming off injured reserve. So like you said, if depth is an issue, go get a proven commodity that can work the middle of the field for him. I do have a lot of faith in this offense, and I don't, they're not a wagon yet, but I do think the sky's the limit for him after 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I already underestimated them significantly prior to the season, but I still think it's okay and legal tender to circle back and say, okay, the tight end position has had an absolute fleet of players come out in the draft over the last 5 years. And it wasn't until the cupboard was bare that they took two. A wide receiver position in multiple of the last few drafts has been chock full of them, and really it's only Nikhil Harry. So those are positions that, look, they try to figure out different ways to fill them, but especially with tight end, when it's such a pivotal part of the offense, whether it's Brady or Cam involved, I hate to look at it and say, well, these guys aren't ready yet, when we spent the entire offseason talking about Keenan Asiasi. God bless Izzo for showing up, because he was nothing but a traffic cone last year. But he's been much, much, much better so far this year.
Tom, if I were asking you to place your hard-earned cash on this bet here today, knowing that a lot of stuff has to happen between now and then, do you think Cam Newton is the starting quarterback for the Patriots for the season opener a year from now?
Yes. I'm going to bet on that.
Ooh.
Because as you were doing that lead-up, I said, you know what, don't waffle. Just give him a direct answer to wherever this is going. So I'm going, yes, he will be the starter. And I think it'll be in his best interest and the Patriots' best interest. He'll be 32, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 33?
Yes, 32.
So he's 32. Do 2 years with him. Do 2 years at 60. Guarantee a whole pile of it, whatever. But I do think it's not in the Patriots' best interest right now to even open up a conversation with Buzz Cook to talk about anything related to the future. I would leave that until December, if you're even going to make any kind of a call, because so much can happen between now and then. And if his play does go somewhat south and you're on the fence about keeping him or not, and you don't follow up with the calls or he gets hurt, well, then you have a pissed off guy. Well, they wanted to talk contract after I looked good, and then they folded their tents. So I'd leave it alone if I were them.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, do you have a theory as to why Jarrett Stidham's not even the backup on the last two game days?
Best working theory is that if on game day Cam gets hurt, Hoyer would be most adept at getting the team in and out of bad plays and moving them into a position to win. Did I expect that to be the case in April, May, and June when I was talking to folks within the organization who were over the moon about Jarrett Stidham? No. Does it say a little bit about Hoyer as well? Yes. But I think it says a lot about Stidham, too. And I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I mean, if we asked Bill Belichick about it, he would say doing what's best for the team, and you know, that's what we always do. But look, there's more to it than that. It's not – if you're in your second year and you're not ready to be the backup and they're going to give Brian Hoyer the chance to back up instead of you, that means you have somehow fallen short of what they hoped.
I mean, he was active, what, every game last year? Not that he played, clearly, because you have a guy, but still,
option,
he was, yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, then at the end, they got Cody Kessler, so they're worth three quarterbacks. He was ahead of him. But I found that pretty fascinating, because I know he got banged up, but it's not like he missed a bunch of practices. He was just limited. And that is really telling to me that they think that Brian Hoyer gives them a better chance to win a game, you know, if worst case scenario happens to Cam Newton, then Stidham. That's, I don't know. I'm with you. I think it's pretty telling.
Yeah, he's not even on the injured list, so it's not that. And, you know, your point is excellent. He was the backup the entire year last year, and now he's DNTCD 2 weeks in a row. It's not – I mean, there's a lot of other things that we've already had a great time conversing about relative to this team. So we are getting to this, and people are probably like, why are you talking about the backup quarterback who's sitting down? Let's enjoy this year. I get you.
Yeah.
But still, what's the arc of the team in the future? How is that player who's going to be at the most pivotal position on the football team developing, and what does it say about his development – vis-a-vis Cam Newton and a contract extension?
Well, everyone in the building, everyone listening right now, everyone who's been watching has to be just thrilled and surprised beyond belief at how well Cam has played. Like you said, you underestimated the offense. I can't believe the way he's slinging it. Obviously, he's very healthy. I took a lot of heat for this earlier, Tom, so now I have to ask you just to see if I'm as crazy as I think I am and as these guys do, or if maybe this is building some traction. But I said I don't think that there's a player in the NFL right now who's more valuable to their offense, maybe save Lamar Jackson, than Cam Newton, and that he's a legitimate – it's only 2 weeks in. I understand I'll pump the brakes. But he's in legitimate early season MVP candidacy. Am I completely nuts, or is there some validity to that?
There is validity to both aspects of that. I mean,
you're nuts.
The nuts part, I agree.
Yeah. We're there with that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're crazy. but I think when you look at, I mean, if we're talking value to the team, yeah. I mean, without him, he came in June. They remade the entire offense around him. They won their first game because of the way he performed. They nearly won their second game because of the way he performed. So the value is there. And then if we talk about, you know, could anybody else be out of the lineup and replace? Well, we kind of saw it last year with Patrick Mahomes. You know, Patriots had the most intelligent, accomplished, accurate, poised quarterback in NFL history playing with this team last year, and his results against talented competition were not the same, especially down the stretch. So it's inescapable to say what Cam Newton is doing is unique. I mean, that to me is – you're exactly right, Fitzy.
Fitzy was smirking at the camera as you were speaking.
That was for you, Dale.
It was disgusting.
Why don't you think so?
Well, the second most valuable player in the National Football League seems a little silly to me through 2 weeks, but that's fine. I mean, I thought you were going to weigh in with Rich and I on the he's crazy category, but that we're good. So the Las Vegas Raiders come to town this weekend. Based on what we've seen so far, and they're 2-0, and we saw them coming off the Monday night win over the New Orleans Saints, are they for real?
Yeah, they were a pretty good team last year until they face-planted at the end of the year inexplicably. They actually had a bunch of – they had a trip to Europe. They played in Chicago. They played somebody else on the road who was a good team. And they were stringing together really impressive performances. And then when they got home at the end of the year with a chance to maybe make the playoffs, they embarrassed themselves, including losing Jacksonville at home in the last game at Oakland. So they are for real in my estimation, especially the way they performed on Monday night against New Orleans. But as with the Patriots, as with every year we see this, the teams who come tearing out of the chutes, oftentimes after a couple of weeks, reality starts to sink in and teams start to get the book on them. Like, remember at this time last year when I think the Colts went into Kansas City and just ran all over their faces? And we said, wow, okay, Colts, probably the second best team in the AFC, maybe the best. And they just weren't the same. So all these conclusions we draw in the first couple of weeks are sometimes not worth the brain cells we draw them on. But I think that the Vegas Raiders are a great middle test between Miami and Seattle.
Is the upset that an incoming call knocks you off your nifty phone app or that you have friends or family who want to call you?
The upset is, well, the ironic thing is it was the missus was calling just
oh, well, there
the
you
teacher
go.
Just calling at lunchtime, wanted to see what I was doing.
Checking in.
And then the funny thing was is once I got back on and I was ready to talk to you guys, I think that Shime tried to call me on your phone.
So Shime screwed it up.
Shime.
Right. I blame John. John told me to call.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's on both of you.
I did. But.
Yep.
Tom, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks,
we'll
Tom.
Talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. So we now have learned that it was Shime who screwed this up.
Shime, once again. Every time,
yet again.
Every time we talk to a guest.
Now, by the way, how quickly could Shime throw John under the bus?
As quickly as
he told me to call.
Probably not wrong.
Cold-blooded.
Probably not wrong.
You wouldn't
the same speed I used to go to the fridge.
I want to clarify.
Somebody get this knife out of my back.
All right, both of you stop. I want to clarify something about the Fitzy Cam Newton MVP stuff. I don't think it's crazy to suggest if the team continues to play well and they win the AFC East and Cam Newton.
I'm with Rich on this. Yeah.
I don't think it's outrageous to say Cam could be in the MVP conversation. I'm saying right now through 2 weeks, if you're just applying the what have we seen in two games, then Josh Allen is a more likely
Much
MVP.
Better.
He's probably fifth or sixth on the list if you're after 2 weeks.
Through 2 weeks.
Because it's Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott,
I view
Kyler
this,
Murray.
Gentlemen, I view this as both not only how well have they played, but who is, it's most valuable player. Who's most valuable to their team?
Right.
Yes.
I know. Say
that's
the
name of the award.
Well, I'm not just talking to you. There's
Who's the
people
most
listening.
Valuable?
The most
player.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean player.
As opposed to mermaid or
yes.
I don't know.
Well, that of course would be Ariel.
Is it
Who
Ariel?
Who do you got?
Well, I also
Ursula?
Have,
you're out of your mind.
No.
The one from the lighthouse.
How about Madison from Splash?
Oh yeah.
Thank
all right,
you.
Well, all of a sudden we have a conversation.
Oh.
No, but I think
touche.
But to say but there have been a lot of quarterbacks that have been better through 2 weeks, but again, Cam Newton has a chance if he like somebody else falls off. He has a couple more big games. I don't know. He has more than one touchdown pass. Like he'll have a chance to be in the mix. But right now,
it's not
there's too many guys ahead of him.
It's not the Nathan Peterman show in Buffalo. I don't know the name of their backup. Don't really care. I still think they would probably be good enough to compete. This Patriots team.
No, but I
would
already told
be
you this. It's not
disastra.
The MVP isn't
God
given
gosh.
To the player who has the worst backup. That's not how it goes.
But
otherwise, Brady would have won it every year.
How good they are compared to. That's why I always thought Brady's like LeBron should always have been in the MVP conversation because he meant that much to his team. And I think Newton means more now to this team
Take
maybe than Brady ever did.
And get out of my face.
All right.
Get out of my face.
Yeah, you used the wrong analogy there.
I don't want to hear that.
Well,
shutting it off.
617-779-7937. When we come back, I specifically asked for Rich to give us some good news concerning the Red Sox.
I got some.
He will, unlike Fitzy, come through with something that matters.
Oh!
And we've got a segment we like to call Boom Roasted. That's coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
The most tied-in NFL writer in the country.
We're talking about Tom Brady. The one that I believe is kind of the sleeping giant in this is Tampa Bay.
Peter King joins Dale and Keefe tomorrow at 11:30 a.m.
Quite a conflict of interest.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
It's two, by the way. We've kind of gotten our orders, by the way, John. We have to come out with some sort of Doobie Brothers thing when Peter King joins us tomorrow. I mean, that's his...
Oh, we've got it ready.
That's his go-to here. So we asked earlier in the program, Rich, if you could give us some small semblance of good news concerning the Red Sox. And as always, you never fail to come through.
Uh-huh.
The Red Sox magic number is 5.
That's right, Dale and Fitzy. The Red Sox have 5 days left in this nightmare of a season. Only 5 days left. That is the best news you've heard about the Red Sox all year. Better than it was yesterday. I'll try
when
to bring you better news tomorrow.
Right? Yeah.
So 5 days left in this godforsaken season. Now, I don't want to give you any bad news, like, oh, they're starting to win and they're ruining their draft picks.
That
like, I'm not going to say
true,
that.
By the way,
wait, hold
true.
On.
I'm
our very
say,
own Rob Bradford tweeted out earlier that Nick Pivetta offered the Red Sox and himself a glimmer of hope, and then there
no,
was an article.
True. That's fair.
Five days. That's not the good news.
Boom sauce.
5 days left. 5 days left. That is the good news. Tonight, play their penultimate game at Fenway Park.
And they finished the season with Atlanta, right?
I don't know.
And Atlanta's... I'm just helping you out
We
here.
Work at their flagship station, the answer
of
was.
Of course
and
they
so,
do.
And so, Atlanta is all set with their playoff position. They're resting guys. They're not going to play most of their lineup. There's a chance the Red Sox will screw this up even further and win more games over the weekend than we want them to win.
I don't know. Have you seen their pitching staff?
I doubt
they
it.
Might be, they might be just fine.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for a segment of the program. And, Fitzy, I don't know if you came up with this name or somebody else did, but whoever did, well done.
Michael Scott did.
Yes,
okay, I brought
fine.
It to the table.
Fitzy woke up in a cold sweat one night.
No.
Eureka.
This is me. No, Fitzy wanted to call it something else.
Diss tracks.
And I said no.
Actually, I said
this is
no,
not a rap.
I put my foot down on that.
Well, hold on. It was a fair.
John
it was a
said
fair.
No.
Big brother.
Hold on. I would like to. I don't want a full victory lap. I would just like it. I would like a sip from the Stanley Cup on the idea that you know using negativity on social media steered towards athletics.
All right.
We can all bask in that. Let's all.
Yes, we can.
And we like to call this portion of the program "Boom Roasted."
Boom Roasted.
All right. I'll kick it off. And this has to do with Drew Brees, right? And
yes. Yeah, Monday night, Drew Brees, his weak-ass noodle arm was on full display for everybody to see.
Couldn't we hide went on to a weak-ass noodle arm?
Did you watch Drew Brees?
Yeah, it was a weak-ass noodle
Thank
arm.
You.
Yeah, it was definitely a Wana. That was some weak-ass noodle arm. And it had shades of Peyton Manning 2015.
Wana? I saw Sean counting in the other room. He was just counting his fingers. He goes, Wana.
How did Fitzy do that?
I was like,
acronym
wait a
now?
Minute.
Say Moana?
You're welcome.
How far I'll go.
Hold on.
So it brought about our first tweet of the segment here from Johnny Kinsley, who said, can we bring 2017 Breeze back? He had an arm back then.
Boom. Roasted.
Let's go to Fitz SN. Breeze got the strength, got the arm strength of late career Jamie Moyer these days.
This one hits roasted. Different.
At Knicks_tape99. Drew Brees got the arm strength of Johnny Damon at this point.
Boom, roasted.
Oh. This one is from Young, Y-U-N-G, _Ko__DA_Key. Because if you think I was just going to read this thing flat out and have it live forever, you were wrong. He writes or tweets out, Brees doesn't trust his own arm, weeping emoji, and we supposed to believe in him? Go home and stand up for the anthem, bruh.
Boom, roasted.
Man, Young Kodak bringing the heat.
I know.
J.D. Gorio 3 tweets, Drew Brees worried about people kneeling for the anthem when he should be worried about his wet noodle of an arm, LOL, #Saints.
Boom, roasted.
Ow.
At Seahawk, at CEEHAWK. Drew Brees' arm deader than the second stimulus vote.
Boom. Roasted.
A little political humor in there. All right.
Now also, we got some audio
also
burns.
Not wrong, by the way.
We got some audio burns coming at you now, Dale.
All right. This first one is from @FieldGulls. Don't you wonder how some people come up with their Twitter
That's
names?
That's the SB Nation Seahawks website, I believe.
That's right.
@FieldGulls. Drew Brees tries to throw the ball more than 10 yards.
I don't think you have the facilities for that, big man.
That meme will never get old. That was his arm's response to Drew Brees requesting a 10-yard throw.
Boom, roasted.
This is from Brady Y NFL.
It's your boy Bryson.
This is Bryson?
Yep, this is your boy Bryson.
Brady Y NFL.
Brady NFL.
Okay. Saints fans, when they see Breeze's arm is cooked.
Call the police. We need to call the police.
That's from the Kardashians.
Terrible.
Boom, roasted.
Terrible.
At Hugh 5, T-O-N-4-L. So that's not Houston great. With it's a 5 for life.
Tries too hard. Ton yeah.
for life. Yeah. Drew Brees' arm when he tries to throw for more than 10 yards.
Oh, tell me with this. I can't help 30 yards.
That's his the arm? R. Kelly response. Wow. That's Drew Brees' arm is R. Kelly that's yelling at Gail King.
That's his arm. Okay.
All right. From at NFL _ memes, Sean Payton says, Drew, we're going to need you to throw a pass longer than 5 yards, to which Drew Brees responds.
No. No, I don't think I will.
Old Captain America from Endgame. That made me almost spit my coffee out this morning when I
said, I don't think I will.
No.
Yeah,
no,
boom, roasted.
He'll give you a 5-yard dump off, though.
Fun fact, yeah. Drew Brees only attempted one pass more than 20 yards down the
wow.
field.
Oh, I am not surprised by that. Didn't not surprised. Well. Dale, let's go to another event. This would be from game three of yep. the NBA's Western Conference Finals. My guy, LeBron.
Big Nuggets win over the Lakers.
Yeah, nice win. So maybe you have a series there. My guy, LeBron. With one of the all-time flops. I think Marcus Smart was
embarrassed. We can retire the award.
That was so bad.
Jay Crowder was unbelievably enamored of this flop.
Let's go to L Boogie 31. He tweets, LeBron need an Oscar for that flop. 7 sideways cry emojis. Hashtag NBA on TNT.
Boom. Roasted.
Dale, I know one of your favorite follows is at Shagalicious.
I am at Shagalicious.
Is that your burner?
He's got a burner.
My
burner.
We found it.
Your burner.
Out his That's burner. Shagalicious.
LeBron is French for the flop.
Boom. Roasted.
At 757IA. I don't know why they put right. that. Who tweeted out, that flop was almost as excessive as the time Derrick Rose missed LeBron's head and LeBron fell down, cry laughing emoji.
Boom, roasted.
Some of them, they take you on a little bit of a journey before they get to the punchline. This one is at Trill Bob P.
Huh?
Sure.
Tweets, yeah. My vids flop more than LeBron.
Boom, roasted.
No one has ever seen a Trill Bob P video.
I didn't know that one,
I don't
one,
know
yeah.
what that is.
All right. This is one of Shime's boys, at Alex Mitchie _. Get LeBron in the concussion protocol after that brutal hip. Hashtag flop.
Boom, roasted.
Wow.
At CSay 257, CEESAY 257, LeBron signature moves. 1, drive left, spin right. 2, flop when a smaller player makes contact.
Boom, roasted.
How about at Manny Manifesto? I had my doubts about LeBron being the lead in Space Jam 2, but after selling that flop, I no longer doubt his acting skills.
Boom, roasted.
All right, and finally, this actually was on social media, but it's not a tweet from last night. This is a tweet from Saturday. Dare I say, a preview to Ooh. What LeBron would do, but definitely someone who is familiar with LeBron's body of floppitude. This is Colby Covington after the UFC match Saturday night speaking to LeBron James.
I want to dedicate this fight to all the first responders, all the military out there. You know, this world would not be safe without you guys. You know, you keep us safe. And, you know, not these woke athletes, man. I'm sick of these woke athletes and these spineless cowards like LeBron James.
Wow. Have you done any research?
Roasted.
Have you done
Boom,
any research
roasted.
On Colby Covington, Fitzy?
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean when he took the president's call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say... And when the NBA playoffs are done, when the bubble experiment is finished and they hand the Larry O'Brien trophy to somebody, when they look at what happened during the course of the bubble playoffs, this video is going to live forever.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because it was it yeah. one of the worst flops in the history of the NBA. And if you're a guy as big and as strong and as physically imposing as LeBron James, how do you look yourself in the mirror after you do that?
Well, what drives me nuts, too, especially with somebody like LeBron who complains about so many calls all the time, is, you know, when you flop like that, you then are trying to embarrass the refs for missing a call. Oh. So then now...
I'd never give him a call again.
I know. Unfortunately, they still will.
Never.
they still will, unfortunately. But you're like, why would you? You're like, because you're just trying to show us up. You're making our job way more difficult by flopping around. And Marcus Smart does it too. But LeBron, yeah. I mean,
Marcus Smart does it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the Jay Crowder one from the other night was still, I think, the worst I'd ever seen. But the LeBron one enters the Hall of Fame. Like, he entered the chat last night with that. And I'm with Doris Burke. This needs to become a foul on the player who does the flopping now.
Yeah.
In the NHL, they do that. You get a penalty for diving.
They got to do it.
Embellishment. They need to add that into the NBA. Call the foul on LeBron, and he'll stop doing it. No, he won't.
Yeah. No, he won't. Abraham Lincoln beard? No, he's not going to stop doing that.
All right, coming up next, what else you got? Including, by the way, a big anniversary date. If you're a Patriots fan, you might not know it, but we'll tell you about it when we come back. Dale and Keith with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI. All right, let's get to a couple of things we may have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Fitzy.
Dale, what is your favorite football movie?
Longest Yard.
It's a great choice. And listen, I love every movie with Michael Irvin and Adam Sandler as well. Kidding. The original. Untouchable.
Mine's The Program. You didn't ask, but I'm going to answer it. It's The Program.
I was going to get to you in time.
It's The Program.
Gridiron Gang.
Take another lap.
No, The Longest Yard, I think, is inarguably the greatest football movie ever.
John's is Air Bud Golden Receiver.
Anything prime Burt Reynolds to me. You don't mess with Sharky's Machine. But one of the most beloved football movies of all time, one many would probably say is the greatest football movie ever, or at least their favorite, would you believe, came out 20 years ago today. What was that movie be, Dale?
Just tell me the name of the movie, Fitzy.
That's right. Strong Side, Weak Side. That's right. One of the finer performances of Denzel Washington.
Side. It's Left Side, Strong Side.
Left Side, Strong Side. Excuse me.
The Game Plan with The Rock.
That's right. It's The Game Plan. Remember the Titans, Dale? 20 years ago.
We went as a high school football team together with our coach, brought us there to watch the movie. I think it spurred us on to a...
Many munchies were eaten.
I think a 1-7 season following the... watching that film.
Mission accomplished.
Not a good outfit, but yeah, great movie. I love this movie. It's not my favorite football movie, but it's pretty damn close.
It is a damn good movie.
And a true story.
One of those ones...
So you came out of the 1-7 season and still got to play college football.
Yeah, that's right. We had no O-line, no D-line, but that's a story for another time.
Great cast in that movie, too. That was one of those movies you heard like it was good. You went and you're like, what's so great about... I love this movie.
Yeah, it's great.
It just football feels it all the way through.
Really, really
I can
good.
Watch that movie 100 times. Yeah. Never gets old.
I was going to say, commands a rewatch almost any time. 100%.
I will also say, because I'm a sentimentalist and, you know, because today is the day when Gale Sayers passed away, Brian's Song could arguably be one of the greatest football movies of all time. Mm. And the first movie I can actually remember crying ugly tears while I watched it.
Mm. You ugly cried at that? I mean, that's an ugly cry movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
I cried after the first scene of The Last Boy Scout.
Oh, are you kidding?
That guy never saw it coming.
I could watch that movie any day of the week. Water's wet, sky's blue.
And I still haven't recovered from Coco.
I hate you.
What else you got?
How about this? Bruce Arians, we've talked a lot about what Bruce Arians has said about Tom Brady, especially after week one. Mm-hmm. Well, he had his press conference today, and he was asked to evaluate Rob Gronkowski.
Ooh.
This is what Bruce Arians said about Gronk. Quote, "We haven't had that many red zone opportunities, and I don't see him running 40 yards past people anymore. We brought him in to play tight end. If that means no catches, that means no catches."
Boom, roasted.
Roasted is right.
Wow.
Yeah. Gronk should just retire now.
I would.
Retire again.
I would stop playing
football.
Go do
some more Manscaped ads. Maybe the WWE will let you back. Probably not. You were terrible there. Somebody will take you. It's not the Bucks. It ain't the Bucks.
So we were worried about what Brady thought when Arians talked about Brady. Oh. What does Gronk think today?
He must. He's got to be just so defeated because. I can see, like, there's still parts of Brady's game where you're like, yeah, he'll figure this out. He'll be fine. They'll still put up points.
The pass to Shady McCoy was running to his right side. That was a hell of a throw.
He'll be locked in on Evans and Godwin like he was Gronk in Edelman in years past. But Gronk, man, who finishes? Actually, I don't even know who the number one tight end is on the Patriots. Ryan Izzo, more or less catches than Gronk this season?
More.
Ew, boy.
What else you got?
I might go more as well.
Yeah.
I feel a little bad bringing this up because he was in town last night. Drew Bledsoe, who has a terrific wine line that he has put together, was at Tresca last night. And they were doing an event pairing his wines with the food at Tresca in the North End, Ray Bourque's restaurant in the North End. But I doubt that he was here to celebrate the fact that it was 19 years ago today, 2001, this date, when Patriots football history was changed forever.
So third down and 10 now, big play for the Patriots. Let's go. Gonna run it. Needs 10 yards. Oh, does he hit? Oh, my.
And the ball, they're going to actually, it looks like they're going to rule that a fumble. And oh, look at Drew.
Yeah, is he, this is more critical than the first down to the Patriots' hopes. Sean Ellis, 92, was carrying his 294 pounds along with Mo Lewis right into the path of Bledsoe. Tom Brady, the second-year quarterback from the University of Michigan.
19 years ago today was the Mo Lewis hit. Now, people who don't remember, Drew Bledsoe came back into the game, but he was concussed. Forget about the fact that he was bleeding out into his chest cavity. He was concussed. The players on the field said he couldn't remember the plays. He couldn't remember the play calls. And they eventually said, you got to get him out of here. If you read Jeff Benedict's new book, The Dynasty, they've got the real complete details of what happened with Bledsoe and Brady and being in the hospital and all of that stuff. But 19 years ago today was the moment, the exact single moment, in which the Patriots dynasty was born.
So on the one-year anniversary of Remember the Titans, Tom Brady took over as quarterback.
He was such a fan. Who among us was there that day?
I was.
You were too?
I was.
Did you get all? Remember the? You thought like the moment of the day would be like
John wasn't alive.
I know.
Okay, I was like two.
The Andruzzi coming out was the first game after 9/11 too. Right. Andruzzi coming out with the flags. Huge day. You could hear that in that cheap dump of a bowl, toilet, the old aluminum bench toilet. You could have heard that sound 10 miles away.
It sounded like a car crash. And it was guys on the field said, guys who, you know, do this for a living, said it was the biggest hit they could ever remember. And nobody, you know, at the time knew this. We talked about, you know, medical malpractice out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. They didn't realize he was going home. He was there with his brother. His wife was there. They were going to go home. And they said, you know what? No, I don't think you're going to go home. The trainer said, we think we're going to take you to the hospital. He might have died if he had gone home instead of gone to the hospital. I mean, that's
crazy.
How bad it was.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right, fellas. Fitzy, we'll see you on Friday.
Looking forward to it.
Tomorrow, Andy Hart will join us. Peter King will be among our guests. Rich, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Everybody else, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
That's the tweet.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.